Okay, so we are wrapping up our study on knowing God. And if you remember when we opened up, one of the examples that we gave is that if someone close to you was going on a trip, they were leaving for a while, and someone that you really loved and cared about, and you didn't know when they would return, and so checking the mailbox every day. I'd mentioned that's kind of what Lori does, you know, when I'm away in Turkey or somewhere. Goes out and looks in the mailbox every day or checks email. And you notice a thick envelope with the return address of that loved one. So you run out to the mailbox, you see this envelope, and you are excited. There's this thick letter. You're finally going to get some news. You're going to hear from this person, something personal. You run inside. You throw it on the counter. And you go check your email. And then you want to read the letter. But it's time to cook dinner, so you need to get dinner going. And then you really intend to read it that night. But your favorite TV show is on that night. So you watch that, and then it's late. So you put it off till the morning. No, you don't. You rip that open, you stop whatever you're doing, and you read it. And you notice and you pay attention to every word. And you notice, you may notice in there also that this person that's writing to you is really right around the corner now and just waiting to hear from you, to talk with you, so that you don't just read the letter. You actually go and you visit with them and you spend some time and you talk and you find out what's going on. And you have some personal time together. And we related that to our knowing God, that God has written us a letter. And not only do we need to read that letter, but we need to have contact with God Himself, or we will never know Him. And a lot of what we have done, and we've gone through this study of God, you know, we've looked at attributes, but we try to push, encourage, spur on each one of us to come to the place where we treasure God more than we treasure anything else. And we've gone often to the Psalm 42, you know, that says, "My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" And sometimes it is the things that we don't see are the things that are eternal. You know, it's the things we don't see. It's the things that we can put off are the things that matter the most. And we went into this a bit and we talked about some of the fruit of those that treasure God more than they treasure anything else. Those that really put God first in their life. And one of those things is a selfless love for the body. You will see this attribute in people that love God, that treasure Him first. There will be a selfless love for the body. The other thing you'll see is a joy. That, you know, those that are happiest in God are those that bring the most glory to God. A joyful person that finds their joy in God. And the third thing is a holy life. And I've just mentioned some verses in your outline. Those of you that aren't normally with us, there's an outline on the back of your bulletin, if you want to look at that. And that's in John 1:2, it says that whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. So my question to you, as we've gone through this, as you hopefully are developing a passion for God, are you beginning to live supernaturally? Are you living a holy life? And that's where we're going next, is the practical living out of this knowing God, a holiness and purity. Is the next place we're going after the new year of our next study. But we hope to find this connection of a holy life, of purity, in connection with intimacy with God. And that's what we'll be looking for. The evidence of intimacy with God is a holy and a pure life. And, you know, there's this tendency that we have that says, this is just the way I am. I don't tend towards reading. I don't tend towards sitting and being quiet. I don't tend towards crowds of being connected with the body on a daily basis. I'm more of a loner, or I'm more of this, or I'm more of that, or I don't. The thing about the gospel is that there is a power to change. You know, if your car doesn't start, and it's on the side of the road, and somebody comes by to help you, and you notice your battery's dead, so they offer to hook up jumper cable to your car and give you a jump start. And you say, no thanks, that's just the way my car is. You know, it just wears out these batteries, and then sometimes it just doesn't start. But there's a power to change. And we tend to turn down that power to change. And we're kind of rushing through this introduction, but Romans 1, 16 and 17 talks about this, that in the gospel is a power to change, a righteousness from Christ. That however you are, if you prefer to watch TV rather than read your Bible, if you prefer to sleep in instead of getting up in the morning and spending time with God, if you prefer to spend time alone rather than connecting with the body, if you prefer to pray silently rather than praying aloud with brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not just the way you are. There is a power to change when we are connected to God. But we must connect with Him. So something we've been trying to accomplish is to get a picture of who God is and what He's like, to give us a desire for this intimacy with Him, where we connect with God. So, along our next step in attempt to see God more clearly is, fits right in with the season. And hopefully this will give us just a little deeper understanding of who God is. You know, we've studied the attributes of God somewhat. And we looked at that all these attributes are true of each person of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And remember we talked about the fellowship of the Trinity. And I lost some of you on that one, but I'll just give you a very, very quick review. That God is love, and the Holy Spirit is the divine essence flowing out and breathed forth in God's infinite love to and delight in Himself. If you didn't follow all that, Jesus is the exact replication of God the Father. And we'll read that verse in a minute so I can prove it to you. Like the mirror image of God. And the love, the Holy Spirit, flowing back and forth between the two. The love of God the Father to the Son, and the love of the Son to the Father. And the Holy Spirit enables us to clue into this, to get a taste, a flavor of the love of the Father for the Son. He enables us to actually experience that love within the body. Jesus, the perfect representation of His being. Let's go to a verse that just describes this. John 17:20. If you think about this, what we just said, as we read through this, and how the Holy Spirit makes it possible to get a taste of the love and the unity of God, and therefore make us able, as the body, to reveal God to the world. Now, I know that's a mouthful. But as we submit to Him, as we know Him personally, as we connect with God, our unity is seen, the love of the Father is seen in us. And when that happens, supernaturally, the world gets a taste of who God is, and they're drawn to Him. So let's read that. 20 through 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The same love that the Father has had from all eternity past for the Son, the very reflection of His glory, the immense joy and delight that the Father has in the Son, He has in us. and we can have in Him. We can attach. We can get into that. We can participate in the love of the Father for the Son. And that love can be seen in us that we have for one another. But it only happens when we're developing an intimacy with God, a personal intimacy with Him. Father, I want those You have given me to be with me where I am to see my glory, the glory You have given me because You loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know You, I know You, and they know that You have sent me. I have made You known to them and will continue to make You known in order that the love You have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. And I know that can get a little complex, and we can just, at some level, we'll pick up something from it. Okay? I certainly haven't gone to the depths of that, but I have somewhere clued in there that we can experience the love of the Father for the Son, the love of the Son for the Father, by the Holy Spirit that we share among ourselves. And we can know Him. You see, you never come to know God to the fullest alone. He didn't make it that way. We come to know Him through the love of the body for each other. I'm going somewhere with this. Now, as we talk about, we're going to narrow this down to Jesus being the exact replication of God the Father, but being His own person. So, you know, almost every group that has gone astray from the true gospel has gone astray right here. They make Jesus less than what He is. In some way, the paradox of fully God and fully man. They take away His man, His personhood, or they take away His Godhood. And then He's no longer who the Bible says He is, and we no longer have the gospel. So, I'm going to zip through these. You follow with me if you want to. But I'm going to try to zip through these verses that you have listed there. You know how we do our, what I call our barrage method. We get a flavor of what the Bible's saying about a particular topic just by zoom, reading a bunch of verses. So that's what we're going to try to do here. We're going to first go to Hebrews, and then we're going to go back to the Old Testament. So hang with me. You can just sit and listen if you want, or do the normal thing of look up every verse. Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And Isaiah 7:14. We're going to read a few verses in Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call Him Emmanuel. We know that means God with us. And then Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And 43, Isaiah 43. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. Talking about Jesus there. And then John 1:1, to our most famous one. Now what I have written by John 1:1 here in my Bible, and you might want to do the same. I have all these references listed. And a lady from the Jehovah's Witnesses came by the other day. You know, I had all those verses listed there, and I didn't have it titled, and I was like, where are all my verses? So I kind of squeaked a little bit on that one, I hate to tell you. John 1:1. By the way, I don't mind telling you that Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that Jesus is who the Bible says He is. They do not believe that Jesus is God, the Son. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then 20:28, John 20:28. Thomas said to Him, talking to Jesus, My Lord and my God. Romans 9:5. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. And Titus 2:13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And 2 Peter 1:1. Keep moving on back. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. And 1 John 5:20. We know also that the Son of God, who has come and has given us understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And I think that we just need to be reminded, and we need to stay true to this in our thinking of who Jesus is. Jesus is fully God and fully man. We cannot argue His manhood when we read through the gospel. Some people will argue His godhood, or they'll somehow slide a little bit on that one. But there are some mysterious things here. Jesus had a human nature and a human spirit, but He had also a divine nature. Now, I do not go for the kenosis theory that Jesus laid aside His godhood to be a man. Jesus was still God as He walked this earth. You know, think about when Jesus was in the boat. Do you remember? There was a storm came up. And He was tired. He was human. He was tired. I believe emotionally drained. Humanly, spiritually drained. Fatigued. Tired. Laying in the boat. Asleep. But when they woke Him up, in His human nature, but He called on His divine nature. He didn't do what He did through the power of the Holy Spirit. Plenty of people work miracles in the Bible through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Himself did it. Be still, calm. He was the God over nature. He was the God over creation. While He was learning to walk as a toddler, He was upholding the universe. Think about it. You can't. It's hard to think about. But we need to consider these things. And we cannot take sides in this biblical paradox. We can't take sides in it. To say that we cannot understand this truth is appropriate humility. To say that it's not possible is intellectual arrogance. It's that if we can't understand it, then it must not be true. Well, we can't understand it, and it is true. The Bible's plain on this fact. God Himself is forever connected to man. He's forever connected to man. He's God and man forever. Remember, after the resurrection, He was flesh and bone. He had a resurrected body after the resurrection. He ate food. He was taken into heaven. The disciples watched Him go into heaven. The two angels standing there said, He will return as He left. He'll return on the clouds in that resurrected body as He left. He told His disciples that He would drink the wine and eat the bread with them in the kingdom to come. He has said to us that He will eat at the marriage feast of the Lamb. He'll eat that meal with us. Stephen saw Him when he was being stoned at the right hand of God, standing at the right hand of God. Peter saw Him on the road to Damascus. But do not get me wrong. He does not give up His attributes of God. He is omnipresent. When He left, He said, I will be with you till the end. And He made the promise, where two or three of you are gathered, I will be there also. And He said, I will live in your heart. He is omnipresent. But He still is fully man and fully God. He did not lay aside being God even while on this earth. And Philippians 2:7 says that He made Himself nothing. And if you're familiar with it, I won't go into it. That's where the kenosis theory comes from. That He laid aside His glory, people say, and He laid aside His godhood to live His life. He laid aside His status and privilege that was his in heaven in humility, in extreme humility. He humbled himself, but he was still fully God. Let's go to Colossians 1:19. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. And then Colossians 2:9. For in Christ, now listen to this verse carefully. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. All the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And of course, Matthew 1:23, we won't go there, calls him Emmanuel, God with us. The triune God partners in this joyous act of love, just as they were partners in the very creation of the heavens and the earth. And if you'll read with me on the last part there, part C, this quote from Grudem. The fact that the infinite, omnipotent, eternal Son of God could become man and join himself to a human nature forever, so that infinite God became one person with infinite man, with finite man, sorry, will remain for eternity the most profound miracle and the most profound mystery in all the universe. God with us. Think about this. From the garden of God walking with man in the cool of the day, to the tabernacle of God making his dwelling among men, to Emmanuel of God among us, to the cross of God dying for us, to him making his temple us, making his temple in us, the eternal, joyful, sovereign God has desired us to rely on him, to know him, and to reflect him. Trace the history of mankind, the relationship to God, throughout the Bible. And you'll come to this over and over and over again. That God desires intimate fellowship with man. How can we not treasure him above all things in a practical, everyday sort of way? This is something that no matter what I teach, I always come back to this, don't I? It doesn't matter what I teach. I always come back to this. That if we are not treasuring God first, every day, above everything else, we let things, I can't believe the things we let become between us and God. We let an argument with our spouse. We let a stupid, television show, a silly television show, keep us from time alone with God. We let an extra 30 minutes of precious sleep that we will need no more in eternity keep us from focusing on God. We put other desires throughout the day, control our thoughts, take our heart and our mind off of putting him first in everything. How can we treasure any relationship, any material thing, any time commitment? How can we treasure anything above him? We must put him first if we would know him, if we would have intimacy with him. And we are going to talk about the fruit of intimacy with him. There is a place of walking in purity with God. I'm not saying that you will be sinless. We make mistakes. We sin. But there is a place of purity with God, of peace and joy with him, and growing intimacy with him. And that's where we're headed, to get the fruit of knowing God for our next study.